Good morning. I am Captain Simon Kirk Picard, commander of this beautiful vessel, the Starship St. Matthews. Today you are my crew, and we are on a mission to find star-like things. This is a very challenging mission because, although some star-like things are easy to find, some are much more difficult. To help us, I have my standard issue Starship Starlight Things tester. But before we can look for starlight things, we need to know what it is to be starlike. So before you arrived this morning, I took the Starship on a little trip to the nearest star to planet Earth. Who can tell me what is the nearest star to planet Earth? The Sun. Thank goodness. A dwarf star, a star with which we are very familiar. Who can tell me something about the Sun? Who made the Sun? Who put the Sun in the sky? God. And I can tell you that having visited the Sun this morning, it is so awesome, so wonderful, so beautiful that only God could have made such a beautiful thing. And besides, it tells us as much in the first few pages of the Bible. Who can tell me something else about the Sun? What does the Sun do?
Keeps us warm.
Fusion.
Brings us daylight.
So the Sun shines. It keeps the planets in their orbits. It gives us heat and warmth, and it sustains all life on Earth. So I think that to be truly star-like is to be made by God, is to shine, and is to have a wonderful influence over the things around you. So we'll test that with the standard issue Starship Star-like Things tester. And the Sun is sort of over there at the moment, so... So that's good. Now, after I visited the Sun, I came back. It took a little while. It is 93 million miles away, even at warp speed. That takes a little while, especially with all the speed cameras. So I had a bit of time to look around the Starship and see if I could find some other star-like things. And I found a few possibilities. At least they say they're star-like. So I found this. A Starbucks coffee. Other coffee brands are available. This one works best for the metaphor. So we'll test it. Not truly star-like. And I suppose that makes sense because, well, not made by God, made by a barista, or I think made in a factory in Denmark. It did have some influence over me when I drank it, but that was about it. And it doesn't shine. So then I found something else that was quite promising. I found this. A star screwdriver. So we'll test this. Let's just see. Not truly star-like. And I guess not made by God. I think this one was made by Halfords. Has some influence over star-headed screws sometimes, but that's about it. And no, it doesn't shine. I found one more. I'm a bit more optimistic about this one. For those of a certain age, we'll know. Ziggy Stardust. So we'll test this. I'm much more optimistic about this one. Oh, not truly star-like. It's a bit disappointing. I guess not made by God, but made by David Bowie. And definitely had a lot of influence over my teenage years, but really, that's about it. And, well, I think Ziggy Stardust may shine, but probably more metaphorically than literally. So, this isn't going so well at this stage. Mission isn't working so well. We're going to have to look a bit further. I've got an idea. It's a long shot, but it might just work. What about curates? And of course, Juliet is so obviously God's beautiful creation. She shines in so many ways, not least with the love of God. And she has wonderful influence over all that's around her because she teaches people about the Gospels and she brings people to faith. So if curates are star-like, what about musicians? You don't need me to tell you that they are God's creation. They shine in so many different ways, but also with musicality. So they have this wonderful influence over what's around them, transforming us from a group of people sat around on a Sunday morning to people engaged in joyful worship. So what about a vowel? Obviously, God's creation shines all the time and has such wonderful influence over all that's around her. What about young people? Arilda is definitely God's creation. She's not just Arilda, she's the Rilda. She shines all the time and she has such great influence over all that's around her. She's only got to turn up to make your day. So what about all the people over here? And what about all the people over here? And I don't know if it's going to work, but what about the people online? Wow, we've been unexpectedly successful. We found lots of new star-like things. They were here all the time. They are you. We've been successful in our mission, which is good, because that means that we're now equipped for the second part of our mission, which is to boldly go where no congregation has gone before.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words, and we ask that you will speak to us today through our songs, as we listen, through our activities and through our thoughts. Amen. Now, I was going to start, there's been a lovely bit of overlap actually with Simon's, of what do we know about stars? Simon has already done quite a lot when we talked about the sun, so I probably won't ask you to think any more about that. But I will ask you, what do you think Paul, writing 2,000 years ago, knew about stars? So given what we already know about the sun and therefore other stars, what did they know 2,000 years ago? Have a little chat with the people sitting around you. Okay, so if I can ask you to bring your conversations to an end, would anyone like to volunteer any thoughts over the microphone? What did Paul know about stars? What did the people of his time know?
They knew Abraham's covenant with God, that his offspring would be as many as the stars, if you can count them.
Brilliant, yeah. So they knew that a long time previously, God had promised to Abraham, who was the forefather of the people of Israel, that his descendants, even though he didn't have any children, he and his wife were very old, one day his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. What else do we know?
They navigated using the stars because the wise men navigated their way to Jesus on his birth.
That's right. So the wise men when Jesus was born, if you remember, they followed the star in order to find Jesus. So they were stargazers already. And we know that, I actually looked it up, for thousands and thousands of years, sailors had been navigating using the stars, and people going across vast lands had been navigating using the stars. Any other thoughts? Brilliant. Yep, so they thought that the Earth was the centre of the universe, and the stars revolved around the Earth, which presumably they thought was flat because they didn't know it was round. And they thought that the sun rose on one side and then went to the other.
Both Plato and Aristotle proved that the earth was round. So that was a myth about their time. They actually knew it was round.
Oh, thank you. I stand corrected. Plato and Aristotle being able to prove that the earth was round. Thank you. Do you know what? Yes, I didn't know that. So we've got most of the points that I've written down. They knew that God made the stars from creation, as Simon said. People also worshipped the stars, and it's talked about the people who worshipped the stars in the Old Testament. And by Paul's time, if we remember the Greek gods and then the Roman gods, they often had constellations in the sky corresponding with the different gods. So what we know is that stars were significant back in the time of Paul. And let's remember, there were no street lights. So when it got dark, it was incredibly dark. I don't know whether you've ever been to a place where there is no additional light. I once had the privilege of going to Lebanon and in this valley, and it was just incredible seeing all the stars when we were a really long way away from any civilization and any streetlights. So and the stars shine brightly when there are no streetlights. So when Paul says in this passage, "Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky," that's what he was thinking about. Not the five stars that we can see in Bristol at night, but the whole starry host which he got to see every single night. They were bright and significant. And likewise, we are called to be bright and significant, to stand up, to stand out and be counted. Now, Simon's given us some clues to that already, so a bit more of discussion. How do we shine like stars in the universe? You might want to just have a look back at the passage. Think back to some of the previous talks that we've had on this series in Philippians, or just anything else. The question was, how are we called, or how can we stand out and be significant? How can we shine like stars? Okay, what are your thoughts?
Being above the things of the world. Well, yeah, just stars are above the earth, so a way to kind of shine out in the world is to be above the more worldly things.
Yep, so be above, be separate from. God actually calls us to be in the world, but not of it, to be separate from the world.
We don't actually have any light of our own. We're like mirrors, so we reflect God's light. I mean, an example of what God is like is Jesus. And so if we reflect that life, we reflect light.
You've just stolen my final point. Absolutely right. We don't have any light of our own. We are called to reflect God's light and be like Jesus.
Smile at people in the street.
You know, a smile in the street goes a long way. Although you get a slightly different reaction when you smile wearing one of these.
Yeah, because a star is a very shiny and beauty. The most human love to look at the star. So star, even little light, but very powerful to the darkness. So when people have no hope, our light should be bring hope from God to them.
Thank you, that is beautiful. Stars, even the faint ones, are beautiful to look at and can bring hope. So it's nice to be able to bring hope to other people who might be struggling. Last one.
By holding fast to God's word.
Someone's read the text. Yes. By holding fast to God's word. Let's have a quick look at the passage. Okay, so in verse 12 it says, "Dear friends, as you have always obeyed me when I was with you, it's now even more important that you obey me now I'm away from you." So Paul's got some really good teachings. Let's continue to dig into some of these letters and get some really good stuff from them. "Keep on working with fear and trembling to complete your salvation, because God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey his own purpose." So to clarify, we do not need to earn our salvation. Those of us who believe and trust in Jesus are saved. We don't need to earn it. It's ours. It's a free gift for anybody and everybody. But he says to work out your salvation, or working to complete your salvation. If you have a bike, it's yours. You don't have to do anything with it. It's your free gift. But in order to make the most of it, you need to learn how to ride it and get out and ride it. It's a bit like that with salvation. It's ours, we have it, it's our free gift. But in order to make the most of it, we need to be allowing God to make changes in our lives to become more like Jesus. And it says God is working in us. So we're not doing it in our own strength. Oh, I must not swear. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to use that swear box or whatever it is that we're trying hard not to do or to do. God's Spirit is in us and helping us, and that makes things easier. Okay, so verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Whew, that's an easy one. But wouldn't that make us different if we didn't complain or argue when, you know, our colleagues are kind of, oh, this is such a drag, do we really have to do this? If we just kind of thought about how we might be more God-like in our approach to that situation, so that you may become, so that you may be innocent and pure as God's perfect children who live in a world of corrupt and sinful people. Can sound a little bit harsh, sweet, you know, giant brushstroke. Doesn't mean that everybody's corrupt and sinful and awful, but it does mean that we are, as followers of Jesus, we are different from everybody else. And actually, it goes on to say, shine among them like stars lighting up the sky as you offer them the message of life, or as you hold on to the message of life. We have Jesus, and Jesus is... Jesus makes our lives, or should be making our lives, really substantially different. And that will make us shine to those who don't yet know him. And hopefully, maybe one day they will come to know the love that we know in Jesus. I loved Simon's points that stars are made by God. Stars have an influence on others, and stars shine. They are the source of light, but the ultimate source of light is God. And as Graham said, actually, we are not our own source of light. I feel like when I was a primary school teacher, I used to do these lessons. You know, where does light come from? What's the source of light? Stars have their own light. We actually don't. It's not about what we do. It's about us reflecting. A bit like we're more like the moon. Shining in the star. The moon doesn't have its own source of light, it reflects the light of the sun. So maybe a more scientifically accurate idea would be for us all to be like the moon, reflecting God's light. And as we walk in his light, holding firmly to Jesus and his teachings, when we rejoice in his love, who loves us and others unconditionally, we will shine, not with our own brilliance, but by reflecting God's glory, who, back to verse 13, works in us to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. He enables us to shine. We don't have to do it in our own strength. So just to finish with a couple of questions. Do I find myself complaining or grumbling about stuff? And if so, how might that change? When have I found myself shining like a star to those around me, showing them what it means to follow Jesus? And how can I hold more firmly to the word of life and allow God to work in me?